Welcome to Elevate, the ultimate young adult platform where real talk meets real faith. We're here to bring you fresh perspectives and heartfelt discussions inspired by our church sermon series. This is your safe space where reality, truth, and the Bible intersect. So grab a seat, open your heart, and let's grow together. We're so glad you're here. Let's dive in and elevate our faith to new heights.
Hello, everyone! So we're going to get started. Welcome to the Chat and Chew. Thank you. So, first, I'm going to introduce the Elevate Podcast. It hosts the Elevate Podcast. Hosts. I am one of your hosts, Tatiana, and we have the lovely Jess. And Bria and Alex. And for our chat and shoe, we decided to get some more of the young folk to answer some questions. You know, it's the second and pastoral anniversary. So we have Miss Sherelle, and we have Naomi and Marquise and Shayna. Thank you so much. So we're going to get started. We have some questions here reflecting on the past year with our pastor and our faith walk and all that good stuff. The Elevate team came up with these questions and we're going to ask them all. So the first question is, how has Pastor Henry influenced your faith walk in the past year?
I would say Pastor Henry has allowed a lot of grace in his through his sermons, and he continuously lets us know that God is not. I mean, he's gonna do this, but he's not, you know, as harsh as we like to make him out to be. And he also allows us to think for ourselves. I think a lot of times pastors sometimes want you to think how they think. And he always says, it's not my job to tell you what to think, but to make sure that you think. And I think that's really important, especially as young people. We can be very impressionable. So if our leader is telling us something, we take it for what it is, and we do exactly that. So sometimes it's important for us to have a leader that can allow us to just freely come up with our own thoughts, our own opinions, and strengthen our personal relationship with Christ. So
I'm practicing for Friday.
Pastor Henry has been a steady source of encouragement and guidance, and helping me deepen and many others deepen their relationship with God through heartfelt prayer and practical wisdom. I feel like over the past year, I've been able to grow so much because he caters to like the younger peers. And I've been able to like hear sermons that like made sense to me. So that's upset. I'm very
thank you so much. I think I want to hear from Shayna now. How has Pastor Henry influenced your faith walk in the past year?
Pastor Henry, in the past year, well, not even just the past year, but the past 2 years, has challenged my comfort zone. He's called me to allow me to get out of the comfort zone of being complacent, and I can do more and believing in myself and giving myself grace, which I don't give myself a lot of times because I'm always overthinking. But through our one-on-one phone calls of me just having, a lot of people don't know this, but I'll call him hysterically crying and he'll just listen and then give me a response with grace. So I just thank him for that, for always having me, not question, but rethink certain things that I do, how I carry myself. His famous phrase is, you know better, you do better. So I appreciate him for that.
Thank you so much. All right, so we're gonna move on to the next question. What sermon from the past year has stuck with you and why? And we're gonna get someone who hasn't answered the first question to answer the second one. All right.
The sermon that stuck with me from this year was Uncharted Territory. I picked Uncharted Territory because I was literally in the beginning of a new chapter in my life that was unfamiliar. I was also dealing with a lot emotionally. I needed and still needed divine guidance. I needed to let go of things that was hindering me on this new chapter. Some quotes from that sermon that helped free me were, closure is not always possible. You can heal and move on without closure if you want to. Another one was, I don't understand, but I accept it and give it to God. And then the last one was, you get in God's way when you don't trust in his timing.
We're gonna head over down here to Marquise.
Alex just reminded me that the sermon last Sunday was called Balance, and that one stuck to me because I think we was talking about it today, like in the car ride here, and we were saying how we had to learn how to say no. And sometimes we're easily influenced to say yes to everything, to the point that I think this was in a sermon where our cup is empty and we have nothing else to give. And it's so easy for us to say yes to everything, but if we give our all to everything and we're not listening to God, then at that point we're not giving God anything because we're just so focused on everybody else, what they want from us. So that really stuck with me.
Thank you so much, Marquise. Anyone else on the panel want to answer that question? You?
I agree with Cheryl. The Uncharted Territory was, I think, one of the more memorable sermon series for me. At the time, I didn't know that I was going to go through some of the things that I went through throughout this past year. And so it was kind of like foresight, and it allowed me to carry those things throughout a lot of the things that I was going through. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Anyone else? All right, we're gonna move on. Ooh, what is one word you would use to describe Pastor Henry and keep it church friendly, guys? Oh, look, just grab that mic quick.
I would describe him as unique because I feel like to be a good leader, you kind of have to be. You can't really like follow everyone else.
Nice. We got one down.
I was going to say loud, but we all know that already. No, I would just say that he's honest. A lot of times leaders, they fake the funk and they don't tell you the real. And I think sometimes he is very honest about the things that he wants, his vision, and how he kind of expects us to carry it out. But also just like in our personal lives, I think a lot of us can attest to the fact that when he tells us things, we listen because he's so honest with us. And so I think I appreciate that.
I said passionate. I feel like we've seen how much passion has been behind like everything he's done. He said what he was gonna do for this church and he did it. So every word he says has a lot of passion behind it and meaning.
I'll say unorthodox because a lot of the unorthodox, because a lot of the ways that he tried to teach his methods is different than what you would normally expect. So yeah, you know, like when I sat down to have lunch with him, and I was telling him everything that was going on, it was just like, the way that he made me think about it was very different than how I was perceiving it in my head. So Yeah, very unorthodox.
This is how you know me and Alex have been through a lot with him, because I was gonna say unorthodox too, because the way he teaches, like, even for me as my journey as a musician, it wasn't the most, like, he saw that I had interest in playing the keys and the organ, and he didn't like slowly develop me into getting into it. It was just like, just jump on the organ one Sunday, and I was horrible, but it made me better. And even as far as like him teaching me songs, he would just like play the song like maybe one or two times, and then he'd be like, "You got it." And then I didn't have it, but it made me a better musician, because it made me use my ear instead of having somebody like baby me into like learning each note. And so it just made me a better musician, so.
Nice. Visionary. The vision that you have for your congregation, for this ministry, is divine. It is you put your mind in something and you have a vision, God puts it in your heart, and you come and you execute it. And I think to have the congregation follow you is a beautiful thing. So thank you for having that vision of updating the church and to bringing the youth into the church. It's all coming into fruition. So thank you.
I'll say also prior go-getter, because one thing that he does, like, he puts all his energy, like how I only said passion, he puts all his passion into it. And so like, he's always 100% going at it, and like he uses all his energy towards it. And that's something that he told me that I do too. Like, I struggle with when I'm going after something, I just focus on it 1,000%. And you're so tunnel vision that you have to give yourself a break. So, you know, yeah, probably just a go-getter.
Wow, thank you guys so much.
My word was real basic, so I was just gonna skip that, but I put different. He's just different. Yeah. The next question is, how has Shiloh changed your view of community and the church? And I'm gonna start that one off. Because, you know, I didn't grow up in Shiloh. I grew up in like Little Rock and Mount Zion. And Shiloh is just different. I just like that different word, but y'all is just different. Like, the way you guys show love, and like, I just feel like y'all haven't changed. Cause I visited y'all from when I was in Mount Zion, or growing up way back when, with the pews and all. And like, I don't feel like anything has really changed. Like, you can really see that y'all genuinely love each other, you love God, and like, you feel it. Shiloh is the church I send my people to. I mean, mainly because it started at 12, but, and the location, but it's like, I know when they're gonna come here, they're gonna have a good time, they're gonna feel love, they're gonna get those hugs. I was hugging people here, I didn't know y'all names, I still don't have y'all names, but I'm like, okay, I gotta make sure I go hug her though. So yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
I love my Shiloh family. When I took a break from church, and I didn't think that, you know, I was having those questions, and I kind of was angry at God for things, I left for a while. And so when I came back, it was almost like I never left. Everybody welcomed me back. And I was right back on the praise team. I was right back doing stuff, like, right. And so I just thank God for having godly people in my life, because it's like, it's important to have a community. You can't do everything by yourself. So, yeah.
I think we're gonna come over here to Sherelle.
My answer is short, but Shiloh just shows that, a loving church community does exist. Like, you don't get that in other churches that you may go to, but we're genuine. We genuinely show love. Like, everybody is like my aunt, everybody is like my uncle, everybody's like my sister. It's just a real family oriented church.
I want to hear from one of y'all next, so think about it.
Get it up. Just to piggyback off the what they were saying, Shiloh is family. Shiloh is love, and I know there's some areas that we're always working on, but just to see how the community reacts to us when we're walking up the block, not just as a whole, but as individuals. You have new businesses that have entered into the community, and I was walking up the block, and they're like, oh, that's my Shiloh sister, that's my church sister. And you're just like, how do you know? But it's the things that we do here, how we greet people, just the love. It's one really big, happy family. Everybody knows each other. Everybody knows your name. And whether you leave or come back, it's just open arms. So that's appreciated.
Yeah, I definitely agree. As somebody who wasn't raised here, I definitely get excited now every Sunday to come here, you know. I be rushing over here, I'm not gonna lie. it's definitely like a breath of fresh air, and it's a real family. Like, you know, it's kind of cliche to say, but it really feels like a family. And even when I've been brought on, you know, you guys have just accepted me. Some Sundays was like a little rough than other Sundays, but we made it work, and like, nobody ever put blame on anybody else. Everybody just accepted, oh, we could have done better and stuff like that. So I really appreciate that.
I would say very accepting. Even like when I came here throughout the week, there was somebody sitting on the step and he was reading a Bible, and then I was just coming in there, but I had my durag on and I had a tank top on and stuff. So he probably like, what is he doing? Like, going inside the church, but I was trying to do the tiles. And then he was like, oh yeah, sometimes I just sit on the step and, you know, just read. I'll say, oh, for real? I said, yeah. I mean, we have service here every Sunday, 12 o'clock. Like, I wasn't scared to be like, nah, this is not the place to go. Or even when my friends tell me, like, they're brought in their aspects in Christ, the first place I say is Shiloh, like, low key, because I'm like, just go there, because they're going to be the people that's gonna actually like welcome you and not judge you based off of anything, you know? And I know I just be quiet and to myself, but you know, that's just me. But yeah, so I'll say very accepting. Like, I wouldn't be scared to. Oh yeah, I invited my friend over to Shiloh, and then he said, I'm here, but like, I'm all the way in the back, quiet up and stuff. I was like, are you sure? Take a picture. He took a photo, and I'm looking at the thing, like, it's green carpet. I was like, yo, where are you at? And then he was at the church right across the street. I said, nah, bro, come this way. Like, what? But yeah, like, even he said it. I was like, yo, like, anytime you need to go, like, come here. You know what I mean? I'll be there every Sunday, you know? So, yeah.
I feel like everyone already knows how I feel about Shiloh. There's three generations of my family here. I've been here my whole life. Yeah, you guys can't get rid of me. As I grew up, I just got to watch how much like we did for the community, and it was so inspiring, and it just made me wanna invite all my friends here. Like, I don't know if you guys remember, there was like 20 of us in here one day. They were like, you guys need to find different seats, separate. Some of y'all gotta go to the back, but it's just like so beautiful. And then when some of my friends are like, can we come back? Like, I'm like, of course, like this is a family. Everyone will welcome you. And that's just like what I love about this place, because you just walk in and it just feels like love and harmony, and we truly love each other, so yeah.
Thank you so much. We're going to go on to Jess. We'll come back to you, Alex. Oh, he's the talker today, huh?
Yeah.
I didn't hear him talk this much since he was born.
Same question.
Same question.
I guess to piggyback off of what everyone else said, coming to a place where you're not judged based off of what you're wearing or what you may have done before. Feeling welcome just makes the experience a lot more genuine and better.
Take it back to Alex. Oh,
real quick, sorry, Alex. I feel like Shiloh has set such a great example for what community is supposed to look like. And even when I leave Shiloh and I'm talking to other people and I'm with my friends, I'm like, if I'm your friend, I consider you family. I'm not gonna, you know, treat you any kind of way, but I just feel like carrying that love of God is so important, not only here, but outside. And people feel that, like Shayna said, in the neighborhood, people know Shiloh. Like, we are the church that, like, we are that church for real. So, yeah.
I forgot what I was gonna say. Dang.
Do you want us to move on?
Oh, it's getting kind of late, you know? I think we could.
All right, next question. How have you seen your transformation in your faith walk?
You want me to start?
Might as well.
You know, I think I'm becoming more intentional with my faith walk in terms of studying and reading the word each day, each and every day. Like my dad said, it's not just enough just to show up, but to actually include yourself in certain activities in the church. And so not to the point where you're exhausting yourself, but being there with, like you just said, community, and knowing that you have community around you to help you. And yeah, so I think, like, just like the sermon series he's having right now, balance. Like, I'm learning that balance, and like, I'm in that shift. So like, when he first started with Uncharted Territories, it was like, that was a shift inside of my life that I needed to and grow. So yeah, you know, I think just not being too hard on myself. Like Shayna said, I'm overthinking my own self. So, you know, just learning that I could take time for my own self, and it's not ungodly to do that, because even Jesus had to go and be alone in the mountains and cry out and weep to God, you know, and take that time, just him and God. So, yeah.
Mine is kind of the same. I definitely like read my Bible more. I have like 2 Bible studies now, one with someone from Little Rock, one with just my friend. We just do Bible studies, we read, we talk. And yeah, I feel like I don't want the church to be like my only source of like God. So I definitely take the initiative to learn about it myself. And yeah.
It might not seem like it, but I'm shy. So I am in real life. I'm like an introvert extrovert, so I'm really shy, and like, especially like in work settings or like certain settings, I don't want to be like, you know, those people at your job that be like, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Like, I don't like to be that person. Like, you don't have to do all of that, but I'm actively trying to show God's love more outside of church. Like, and then when people start to ask me like, why are you so happy? Why are you so? And then I'll go into more details. But it's like, I was a little bit more closed off and shy about that before, and now I'm actively trying, like, just to spread light and joy and hope in a world that is full of so much negativity.
I, like Tati said, I definitely take the time to make sure that I'm getting my own source of the word at home. And I think before, I used to be really reactionary. Like, I used to just react so quick. But now I'm like, okay, I take a minute, I reflect on things, and then I come back. And not only do I just come back and say what I want to say, I think, like, what would Jesus do? Or, like, how can I rectify a situation in a godly manner? How can I show them love instead of showing them what I want to show them? And so I think a lot of times it's really important to take that time to say, okay, I don't have to react to everything. I don't have to always have something to say. I think I think if I have the love of Christ in me, it will show in my actions. It will show in, you know, what I'm doing and how I'm treating people. So, yeah.
I'm like the youngest person here, so my faith walk just looks a little different. I feel like there's so many distractions within school and like different crowds and stuff like that. So my transformation really has to revolve around surrounding myself with good people who love God like I do and like go with him. So I just feel like joining like gospel choir in school and like hanging around with friends who don't do their own things and stuff like that is stuff I have to do in my physical. Mom, do you want to speak? Why are you yelling?
Learning how to pray and not worry has been the thing that I've been trying to work on the most, because it's easy to worry, but it's harder to pray and just forget. So that's something that I've been like trying to develop in myself, and just like talking to God every day. Like as soon as I wake up, I just thank God, and like even finding time throughout the day just to talk to him. Like I have a 45-minute drive to work every day, and like I've been taking that time. I just shut off the music sometimes and just talk to him. And just sometimes to the point where it sounds like I'm actually talking to somebody, because, you know, I feel like, I don't even know how to explain it, but like when people tell you to pray, there's no like right way to pray. It's like more developed on yourself and your relationship with God. And mine is just like, basically like talking to him as if like he's the homie, like he's my friend. Yeah, like I actually do. And my grandma always told me, like, you can't pray and worry, because it's like two magnets going together. Like they're not gonna attract, they're just gonna like push away from each other. And like I just trying to just pray and not worry has just been the biggest thing that I've been like trying to overcome. It's not easy, but sometimes when you just pray and you forget about it, you actually see something coming from it, you know, so.
Anyone else? No? All right. How do you see your future as a member of Shiloh? Any ministries you wish to be a part of? More community outreach? I'm going to go ahead and start that one off, because I'm not even a member at Shiloh, but I do enough. I don't see myself doing any more. I do the children's room, I do the podcast. That's enough, honestly. Because I'm still young. I don't feel like I need to be in church day of the week. I go to the gym after work.
You forgot the newsletter too?
Oh yeah, I be doing the newsletter too. You see, and that's another thing. Because you help out one time, and then every week they be like, oh, we got another newsletter. I'm like, I thought I was helping y'all out. And that's why it's like, I'm not even gonna offer my services no more. And I'm gonna tell y'all right now, don't ask me to pray no more. I pray for Little Rock, I pray for Shiloh, that's it. That's what you're getting from me. I do speak. No, I'm serious. I be praying dancing sometimes. It's a lot. And like, I just feel like what I'm doing right now is as much as I can handle. Anyone else? Yes?
I hope to help develop the podcast to be even bigger than what it is now.
Like Tati said, I've been here a long time. I've dibbled and dabbled in a little bit of everything. I've been an usher, I'm a praise team, I've been on the media ministry, I'm on a newsletter. Like, sometimes we can't just stretch ourselves so thin. And I think finding those one or two ministries that you really feel like, okay, I can do this, I can commit to it, I think that's good. Like, if you have the capacity for two, then you have the capacity for two. And I think it's important that as members of a church, we're honest about that. Because then we burn ourselves out, and then we're mad at people that, you know, didn't hurt us. And so it's like, I think it's important to say, okay, this is my boundary. I can do two or three. I can commit to this or that. I can't do both. Like, I think that's important. I think I'm where I need to be.
I feel like whatever you guys want me to do, I'll do. Like today. Okay, not everything, but like today I did the like the announcements, the greetings. I love doing that. So like more stuff like that, singing more. Even though like sometimes I don't be coming to rehearsals, I don't be texting in the group chat. Do I see the messages? Maybe. So I can answer the messages, sing more. Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is something that we was literally talking about in the car while we were driving up here. We were saying like how mainly like in the Black community, especially like when somebody gets older in the family and they're sick, and then you're the caregiver, and then you're burning yourself out because nobody else in the family tries to push in or chip in, because they're like, nah, this guy got it. And then after a while, you're burning them out. So like I said to Marquise and Tati in the car, I was like, normally when I say yes, it's because I know I have the time to do it. And then if I generally don't have the time, then I won't do it. Or, you know, if I know that that's not in my skill set, then I'm not going to say that I'm going to do it. So, yeah, I mean, well, Shiloh's low-key the place where I go. So it's like a decompress, because at Little Rock, I'm already setting up. I'm like normally the first one there. So it's like, Shiloh's like the place where I can actually receive the message from the pastors. So, you know, I mean, I will help if needed, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm generally there to help if I can, but, you know, yeah. With the media ministry, of course, you know that. But yeah, so, yeah, you know?
Yeah, I think I already found my ministry. I think I'm good with that. I probably could come to rehearsal more, but other than that, I think I'm good.
This is tired. I'm sorry. Wherever God sees fit and wherever Pastor sees for me to work, I applaud you, Pastor, because it's a lot. It is a lot serving in each ministry. It time, effort, discipline, things when you're sitting here trying to work on your own self, it exposes you. These ministries expose you. So wherever God sees fit, wherever Pastor sees fit, that's where I'll go to. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Okay, this is our last question, guys. What weekly Bible study helps you the best? There's Sunday school, Touch Tuesday, and Wednesday night Bible study.
I would say Touch Tuesday helps me the most, because it's good to have Bible study taught by, you know, our pastor. But I think hearing how other people in the congregation think about things is important to hear, because it can kind of come off preachy when it's coming from the pastor. But when it's another member, it's like, okay, he's being real, but they're also being real. And sometimes it's like, oh, okay, I was thinking about it that way too. Like, you know, is it important to hear the ideas of other people in the congregation, because pastor's not on a higher level than us, but he thinks differently than us sometimes. And so I think having my Shiloh family, Little Rock family say certain things, it's like, okay. And having it being taught by them, it's not easy being the teacher, I'll tell you that much, but when people engage in the conversation and we're bouncing ideas off of one another and it's flowing, like, it's really important. It's really helpful.
I'm the opposite of Bria. I actually like Wednesday night better for me personally. Like, I like the books that the pastor has been picking lately, especially the last two, because it just helps me to see the things that I need to change in order to be a better Christian, a better member of the church. So Wednesday is the one that I like.
I think of the three, I probably go to Touch Tuesday the most. I don't really go to them consistently because, again, I don't want to fill my whole week up with church. I said church, not God. Like I said, I got my two Bible studies on the side. I read my Bible. And like I said, I don't want church to be my only source of God. That might be problematic, but I already started. So I'm gonna say, I don't even let the Bible be the only thing that I read to tell me about God. Like, it's my relationship with him. And like, I just go about it the way I see fit.
For me, I would say Touch Tuesday and Wednesday, because Tuesday is more of, for me, it's a reflection of the sermon on Sunday, but it's also something of self-growth. And I feel like, and how to be, Wednesday is more of how to be a church member. So both of them have definitely been helpful. And also Sunday school. Pastor always says Sunday school is how you learn the book, the Bible and the Word. So all of them.
All right. Well, that is... Oh, were you about to say something? Okay. I was going to say that is all our questions. We will open up the floor if there are any questions that you guys have for us. Raise your hand and Shayna will bring you the mic.
What can we as adults do to help your experience and shadow be better?
To lead with more empathy and compassion. To understand, yes, we are all students, but now there's different levels of understanding in the church and different ways you can show us love, whether it's how we come into the church or dressing or how we're teaching, just showing more empathy and compassion to us.
I would say if we miss a few Sundays, don't judge us, don't mention us, just welcome us back. It's just because you have no idea what it might have been, what the reason why we weren't here. So sometimes that, like personally for me, is like I try not to take it with offense, but I do at first because it's like, but I'm usually always here. So if I miss or if any of us miss, just give us grace. I would say, you know, we're young, we're trying, well, at least I'll speak for myself, like, I'm trying my best, so I do appreciate when adults who have more wisdom than me kind of guide me and mentor me and answer my questions, because I'm just trying to figure it out and do my best, and sometimes I have questions, and I don't always know who to ask, so the people that, you know, have the wisdom and are willing make themselves known, and I appreciate that.
I have a question for the panel. How could we as senior members, I'm just saying that, and this body can bring more youth into our church? Do you have any thoughts on how we can minister and outreach to the youth in our community? What do we need?
It's crazy because that's what I was bringing up when I forgot what my thought. My dad, he did say on the podcast one time, he was like, what can help to bring more youth, like to make it like cool for the church? But I feel like it's already like, yeah, outreach is good in terms of like, even like on in the summertime when we go outside and like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's good in Shiloh, like where y'all are at. I feel like just, you know, spread the love and then bring the people there, but like also I guess don't judge a book by its cover more so, because like I remember this one Sunday in Little Rock where my dad had a
I remember I set up everything, and he was like, if something crazy happened, don't stop them. I was like, what does that even mean? Then the service went on, and then this crazy person came into the place. But yeah, cigarette with ripped clothes and everything, and came down the middle while they were praising. And it was crazy because you could see it was towards his message that he was saying of like how you people need help in the community and they come in for help, but we're judging them by how they come and how they look and the way that they are. Like, yes, there's a way to, yes, there is an order of how it should be, but there's also, you know, a way that you can go about it. So like, even like outside of church with my friends, like I don't do, I notice I have to separate from the things that they do because it's like, that's like, now I'm older, I'm getting into a place where it's like, okay, this is where I need to be. And if they're not at that place, okay, I'm not gonna judge you. But also just know I want better for you. So it's like, you know?
So here's a great connection, right? The young lady that Alex is talking about, Denise and I went to Broadway with Gail Richardson to see, she had almost like a gospel extravaganza off of Broadway. And we went, and I met this lady there, and she walked into the club, and the security put her out because she looked like a crackhead. And we were coming in, we had to actually call Gail to let the security know she was okay to come in. And I hired her to come to Little Rock that Sunday because we had just moved from Central Avenue to East New York, and I was trying to get the point across. We need to stop asking God to send people to church and start asking God to prepare us for whoever might come. That's the last Sunday our deaconesses wore white. That's the last Sundays our ushers wore white. That's the last Sunday our deacons only sat in the front of the church, to the point that we just decided that Sunday we just needed to make our church user friendly. That's why Minister Millie doesn't sit in the pulpit. Everybody learned that day to be on guard, because you never know who's gonna come through the door. And it was Gail who found, I can't find the lady up to this day, but it was Reverend Gail Richardson who found that lady for me from that skit. And that's the reason why Jennifer Hilton, Sister Shalom, who's now a member here, and Jasmine all joined Little Rock as a result of what happened that Sunday.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I was gonna say we have to lead with God and not tradition, because I feel like sometimes we're so focused on tradition that we don't understand that we're pushing people away. Because in all honesty, it's for us, the young people, to bring people to church, our friends and stuff like that. But it's for the people of the church, the elders, to maintain that and not push people away by focusing on a tradition. Because the young people that we're bringing in doesn't know anything about tradition. They just know, I'm bringing you here and this is church. So they have an idea, but in all honesty, it's for us to make sure that we're respecting them and leading with God and not focusing on traditions of everything. Because if I'm uncomfortable here at church, I'm not going to bring anybody else here to church, you know?
I was going to say that I love Shiloh, but y'all got some rotten apples. You know, every church has them, and some of y'all have looked at me crazy, some of y'all have talked to me crazy, but look, starting with Shayna, no, I'm kidding. But if I was just a regular person walking in and y'all would have did something like that, I would not have come back. So definitely check yourself before you walk in, just like y'all want us to check ourselves before we walk in.
To that point, and in your current Christian walk, how would you handle an ought with a church member?
Well, it depends on the day, I will say that. But I'm actually in a point in my life where I understand that, you know, people have things going on. I don't take things personally. And I just feel like how you like your actions towards me is more of a reflection of you than it is of me. And it's like, I know who I am, I know what I do, I know my relationship with God, and I don't feel like I have to prove it to anybody. So I'm gonna pray for you. I'm gonna tell my dad if it's a little too crazy so he can address you. But I'm not gonna take it, I don't take things personally anymore because it does nothing for me.
Again, I'm like the youngest person sitting here. So like when I hear things about like my genes or stuff like that, I just think about how it's a different generation. So I can't really think too deeply about it. Like it really has nothing to do with me. It's just like what you grew up seeing in church and how I want to change the church, if that makes sense. So I was telling my friends, like, oh, you can wear jeans to my church. Like, keep it classy, but you can wear jeans and a sweater. Keep it cute. You know what I mean? So it's just like, it's different generations. I get it. But, like, it's just something we can work on.
Yeah. I'm like Tassie. I used to take it personal when people would say stuff to me. But again, like, you never know what somebody's going through. So that one comment to somebody can be the very thing that they go off on you for, or, you know, you never know what somebody's going through. But I think, like I tell my friends, I'm like, I want you guys to come to church, but you just have to see it for yourself. So I start by sending them the, you know, our virtual service, and I let them watch online, and my friends are like, oh my God, your pastor, like, he's crazy, but you know, he really is honest and he's real. And a lot of times people are not used to leaders that are real. Like, so I start with, you know, saying, hey, you don't have to come if you can't, just watch online. Like, and then they're like, okay, I'm gonna come. And I'm like, all right. And then I'll leave it alone, but then every now and then I'm like, you're coming to church, you come. I still extend that invitation, but I think allowing people to come on their time, not always forcing somebody to say, you've got to come to church and to have a relationship with Christ. I told my friend, like, you can start by just opening up your Bible, even if it's on your phone, like just doing little things to strengthen your personal relationship with Christ. Because yes, we come to church for community and to worship together, but sometimes people aren't used to that because they've never had that before. So I think starting off, you know, by themselves, it can be the very thing that, like, be like, okay, kickstart it. Like, all right, now I'll come to church. I'm seeing y'all online. Like, y'all are good. Like, I'm gonna come. So I think just starting little by little with people, not always just forcing them to go all in, I think that's really important.
First of all, I want to say thank you. Thank you for having the courage to be up here in a forum like this, because I know it's not easy. So thank you so much to the panel. My question is, I've heard very loud and clear, we have a lot of church. We do a lot of church. But is there any specific activities or programs you would like to see that caters to you and your age group?
I don't really want to add more stuff because I feel like we already have a lot of stuff, but I do think, and I said this when the pastor first came, that there's a big need for a community for single mothers. I'm not a single mother, but I have a lot of friends who need that community, and it's like, I want to invite them to something, but it can't just be any other stuff that we have on. It needs to be more geared towards single mothers and mothers, you know, only like they're by themselves and they just need the encouragement of other women who have done it and are good now or are trying to be good.
I addressed it yesterday to the official board, and I'll say it now, and I'm going to address it at Little Rock also. I think Rick was here. I was using his program and as an example. And the preacher touched on it today in his sermon. I think one of the issues that we're facing now is that the church has to lean into more collaboration with community-based organizations.
Thank you guys so much for staying until the end. I see some empty seats. We're gonna have to check the cameras, make sure everyone stayed. I wanna thank our panelists for joining us today. I wanna thank the podcast hosts for being
That's a wrap on this episode of the Elevate Podcast with your hosts, Alex, Tatiana, Jessica, and Bria. A huge thank you to our special guests for joining us. Your insight was everything. Until next time, keep growing, keep striving, and most importantly, keep elevating.
staying until the end. I see some empty seats. We're gonna have to check the cameras, make sure everyone's safe. I wanna thank our panelists for joining us today. I wanna thank the podcast hosts for being here out in the front. We're usually, you know, behind the microphone, but now you guys see our faces. Make sure you download our podcast, Elevate, E-L-E-V, and the number 8. Our Instagram is Welcome to Elevate. We just will be dropping some new episodes soon. Make sure you give it a listen. Also, we're going to be putting like an anonymous box in the back of the church. So if you guys have any questions about the sermons or just church in general that you want us to answer on the podcast, we'll be collecting questions and answering them on the podcast. It'll be anonymous, so literally whatever question you have, you can just put it in the box. Anything else? Sponsors, yes. So we are looking for some sponsors. We're trying to come get them from the church first. If you have a business that you want to provide to our listeners, just like give them a little promo code, a little discount, just let us know and we can set that up. Anything else? You guys want to say anything? We do collect offerings. If you want to give us some money, just see me after. I have Zelle, I take cash. I don't have Cash App right now, we're working on it. I can download Venmo. Yeah, we pay $67.50 for 3 hours of recording in the studio. I usually pay that myself. So we could start, I'll tell the pastor, we could start a podcast. Yes, we're trying to turn one of the rooms here into a podcast room so that we don't have to keep outsourcing and we can just record right here. Equipment costs money. Subscriptions, yes.
The very platform that we use to get our podcast out is a monthly expense. So yeah, anything helps.
Yeah. Oh, thank
God
you
bless
so
you.
Much. We got somebody just write their names down. We got yes. All right, that's number 3. Oh, we got some more here. All right, that's 4 months. Can we get another one? Can we get another one? Hey, thank you, Robert. All right, can we get March? Can we get March? Oh, you got this, sis. Take all their names down. We got April. Yeah, we got a year right here. But yes, we thank you so much. But we thank you so much for staying. The host, we really take care of everything that we do. We come up with the topics, the questions, we record, we gotta pick a day, and we usually come after work. We're there from like 7 to 10, and then we have to edit, and then we gotta put it all together. So it really does take a lot. That's why I'm not doing no more ministries. But thank you so much. It's 5:03, go home.